Good evening.
Yeah. Welcome back to Vlog Watch.
Okay.
Thank
you.
With you.
Yes.
The first time I was with Maguindanao,
remember? Yes, in UP. Yeah.
Yes, you were the first one who made a statement in the Maguindanao massacre.
Right.
We discussed with you on the platform. The second time when you were disqualified at first by
Yes. Public.
And in that interview, you were talking about new politics.
Yes.
And that really interested a lot of readers. Because we would have liked it. Can you explain again what is new politics?
Right.
Because it's something so new to us. I mean, most of us are used to the traditional politics.
Okay. Maybe, Noemi, the best way to understand new politics is to take a look at what happened in COMELEC. Because the COMELEC, in a sense, was the guardian of old politics, of traditional politics. So when they had the criteria of determining whether a candidate can wage credible national campaign, the criteria was whether the candidate had money and resources as well as a political party. And so, with that kind of definition, which was for me shocking because I think COMELEC really strayed away from its mandate because there's nothing in the Constitution that says that only people who are very rich can run as presidential candidates in this country. So, old politics actually gives a lot of money, political organization, and maybe even name recall or popularity without taking a look at the substance, the vision, the platform, the track record, the qualifications of a person, and the capacity of that person to actually inspire Filipinos to create a different world, a different country. And out of that possibility, then you will have people volunteering if this is spread through the internet, through media, and then you will have a massive support, and the resources will come, the organization will come, and you create it in process. Now, for me, the interesting thing was that we wrote a 48-page opposition, motion for opposition against the COMELEC decision, and had over 150 pages of attachment. In fact, during the hearings, COMELEC made a note of it. And so I was very happy that they basically adopted almost every argument that we did. One thing for me, this is also, I think, a very good day for Paul Light in the internet, like blog Watch Philippines, Twitter community. COMELEC acknowledged that capacity to have a credible presence in the internet is constitute part of the criteria for launching a credible national campaign. And this is why I was always telling friends, I am lodging this motion of opposition not for myself alone, but I'm really upset that COMELEC would define political innovation, especially innovations connected to creating a better country, to citizens, more citizens' involvement, and independent opinion in the internet. So I think I'm really happy with the decision because they actually cited. They cited the internet. There was a two-paragraph decision on it, and then one of the criteria they said that Mr. Petitioner Perlas has shown, based on data, that there are over 24 million users of the internet in the Philippines, and that he has a credible presence in the internet. And so I was just citing in part of my opposition that if you search my name, Nicanor Perlas, in the internet, there are over 250,000 citations, which I pointed out was more than five of the other presidential, more than the other five of the other presidential candidates. And the commissioners themselves, if you Google their name, the Google search or a Yahoo search, you come up with less than 50,000. So, I mean, I made it as part of the argument that you can create, the most important thing is that not money or political organization, but how do you reach the hearts and minds of voters, the Filipinos who will vote here and abroad. That is what you need. With the internet, there's the possibility of a massive outreach without too much expense, because basically that's the power of the internet. In a sense, it democratized media and made it possible for thousands of people to blog, to tweet, to create a discourse on a lot of topics. So I'm really excited because of that decision. I think 2010 will be one of the most conscious elections that we will have in the history of this country, because the internet is a two-way media. Unlike the mainstream media, which is also there, is important, but the internet, people can feedback, can create discourse, and there can be an ongoing discourse. So I think all of you bloggers know this, and tweeters. I made a very strong argument. I was the only person that was disqualified that made this argument, and they cited this as part of the reason why they reinstated my candidacy as president of the Philippines. So I'm really happy, and I'm really excited. My first major interview is among bloggers, among Blog Watch bloggers, because I really believe in the power of the internet.
And since your disqualification, the buzzword is really new politics, which is a degree.
Exactly.
And you wrote an article on new politics, and it was cited here that the basic essence of new politics is the vision of the country and the track record. So
yes.
What's the vision? What's your vision for what you want?
Yes. My vision for the Philippines is encapsulated in our platform. I'll just try to restate it. Number one, it's important to envision a country that has the capacity to actually stand tall in the world because it's gotten rid of corruption, it's drastically reduced poverty, it's dealt with peace and order conditions, it has satisfactorily moved on to restore the environment and educate its people. So we are seeing the possibility of a country being reconstructed, being recreated out of a real longing by citizens to get involved in a participatory process of governance. So catchword is integral sustainability, where ecological soundness is actually addressed, economic vitality, political maturity, real democracy, cultural vibrancy, as well as individual transformation that would allow a transformation of institutions and society. That is the vision in short of the Philippines. Then I lay out the details of this vision in 24 pages of platform, which is, by the way, a living document because this is evolving. What I submitted to COMELEC was a 24-page platform that we already created many months ago, but new questions are coming in, therefore are new answers. So this platform continues to evolve and becomes even more and more concrete as more and more people ask questions and we genuinely address people's concerns.
Your name known, like here in
Clerk,
we received something like, who is
Nicanor Pirro? Exactly. I actually have been prodded to run as president since 1996, and I was not interested because at that time, government still had a space where it listened to people's advice and advocacies and still did something about it. I really started getting concerned with the Arroyo administration because I think this government really doesn't care about the people, doesn't really listen to feedback unless it's really drastic, like the Maguindanao massacre, where it will blow up in its face. So I said, for 40 years, I've been allied trying to shape government policies. Even have been consultants to a number of presidents, senators, congresspeople, cabinet members, even argued for the Philippine government at the UN, but from the outside, not as an official. When I saw that the political space had actually collapsed and it was threatening the very soul of our nation, basically the corruption, the collapse of morality, I said, I think this has to stop. That's when I seriously considered running, and for me, this occurred, as I mentioned last time, in a flight to Europe, when it became very clear, that's 2008, that the system of the Philippines is not changed. It can no longer be piecemeal. The system as a whole has to be changed. And if that doesn't happen, this country will actually go deeper and collapse further from its present position. And as a Filipino loving this country, I could not allow that to happen without me stepping forward, taking a chance. So that was been a long time, but I always stayed outside in civil society, in cultural life, trying to influence from the outside. But since there was no more conscious nor capacity to listen, that's the time I decided to move in and challenge the system. And I think for me, I'm really excited because the first manifestation of that is the COMELEC itself as a system, because that was the first hurdle in the whole system, the very participation being temporarily disqualified because the system thought politics in a certain way. But this is exactly the kind of traditional politics that has been destroying this country. So I think the COMELEC victory has many ramifications. In fact, I'm writing a blog about it in the next few days. I'm just trying to draw out what the two paragraphs of the COMELEC meant, the decision to reinstate me, because it has volumes about the possibility of a very different politics in this country.
So the COMELEC also examples of this being your being, as of today, number 7, most searched city though.
Yeah, I think that's the... In fact, when COMELEC decided to disqualify us, we did not feel we did not go into a crisis because we felt, okay, COMELEC made a real mistake. This is going to actually bounce back to them, and sure enough, the disqualification actually strengthened my candidacy. During the period of 1 month that we were no longer considered as a presidential candidate, a lot of people actually came in and supported. You know, there's this phenomenon, I think, was pointed out by Jane, I think. Even those who do not support me or are for another candidate, they were very much pissed off by the Comelec decision because they couldn't tome a concept that only money will determine whether somebody is qualified. That really goes against the grain of our Republican government, our Republican constitution, res publica, the republic of the people, and democracy, which is the power of the people, of the citizens. So a lot of people actually were angry at the Comelec decision, and one manifestation of this, but also globally, over 2,000 people from over 60 countries also protested the Comelec decision. That also had an impact because some of them were pretty prominent, and including the whole Green Party of France, a senator from Australia, Bob Brown, who was the leader of the Green movement in France. I mean, very prominent people started writing the Comelec, I mean, questioning the decision. So I think it did a lot of good, although of course, we were totally prepared to go to the Supreme Court to challenge it. And so now, we not only won for myself, but we actually created a precedent for new politics and a different kind of political possibility in this country.
So do you think the other candidates are not threatened?
I would think so, because now a lot of the other candidates are saying that they're the barrier of new politics. But now, because of the Comelec decision and the way it was carried in media and the internet, that for me this was a fight for new politics. That label, which I actually created several months ago, is actually more connected, becoming more connected with me. Yes.
I have one more question. Okay. Before you ask a question, can you just move nearer to the camera?
Yeah. Okay, sure.
Can you please tell us more about Pangmasa, and are you really joining forces with them?
No, actually, Pangmasa was a political party that I tried to help organize, a national political party, not a party list, a national party. Political party that I tried to get accredited with Comelec.
You're accredited now?
No, actually, at the same time I was disqualified, Pangmasa was also not accredited.
So how do you...
No, but the interesting thing is that what I mentioned to Comelec was that while we were crediting Pangmasa, the Partido ng Madangal na Sambayanan, we had close to about 700 coordinators that were there. And so I was telling Comelec, even though your own definition of an independent candidate does not require a person to have a political party to run for office, I cited back an earlier Comelec resolution, we do have grassroots support from many parts of the country. We have municipal coordinators, provincial, regional coordinators, constituting a de facto organization. Still alive, is still there, and actually more are joining. Now, one of the interesting things in connection with this is that after the Comelec reinstatement, a lot of independent candidates and party lists and parties are now approaching us looking for an alliance, because these independent candidates are now beginning to see that they felt that they were similar to my case, that they really wanted to bring new politics without the usual ingredients of a lot of money, a lot of traditional political organizing, and so on. So we are actually creating new politics from scratch on the go, just totally driven by ambition of how a very different kind of political organizing can work. Because I feel the Filipinos are also at the point, as a whole, they're really sick and tired of a traditional political system that's given them nothing but problems for the last 40, 50, 60 years.
You're watching Nicanor Perla's live streaming. If you are watching us right now, there was a request from Dubai.
Okay.
So I'm meeting Nicanor Perlas, Nick Perlas, running for presidential candidate.
Thank you.
We can move on to the next question. We have Ricky Rivera, who is part of Long Watch. You have a question, Ricky?
No,
can you move over here first, so that you can be heard by the camera? No, just at least you just stand up.
Your question.
Over here, the mic.
Dito, Ricky. Yeah. Yes.
Just throw your voice
at me. Okay, about three questions.
Okay.
Yes. Online, I actually wrote something about you as Patricio Maguba.
Okay.
Filipino voice and in some websites, because I'm trying to discern and trying to study your platform of government.
Okay.
Sir, in one, what's really your platform of government? Because it's really, my colleagues are quite confused as to, for you, what would be the the main problem, God would probably, or if the Filipino people would actually vote for you, come May 10, 2010 elections, what would be your first 100 days? What would be your priority that you would have? Because I've been trying to research about your platform, but I haven't really gotten the 24
pictures. You haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it.
Okay. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I've been studying all of, you know, even JC's
platform.
Okay. Noynoy's. I already wrote something about Noynoy.
Right.
And I was trying to write something about you.
Okay.
Because I do believe in what you're carrying.
Yes.
What you're espousing.
Right.
It seems not too clear.
Okay.
Hindi pa masyadong mali.
So okay, sure. It's surprising, Rick, that Ricky, that you were not able to see the platform. It's right on the front page of our official website homepage. Mm-hmm. I'm going to check. Something might have happened to it, so that's why you've not had access to it. But there are 6 pillars in what we're proposing for the new government. In case I'm going to be elected as the next president of the Philippines. My number one priority is poverty eradication. So really drastically reducing poverty in the country. And this is not a kind of simplistic, just focus on the economic. Because poverty is not just economics. We call it the poverty complex. Because there are political, cultural, economic, societal, individual, even spiritual reasons for poverty. So for example, if we say poverty eradication and quality of life for all, what is included there is a whole range of other initiatives. For example, peace and order. So dealing with the rebellions of the NDF, NTPP, NPA, dealing with the MILF, dealing with terrorism, dealing with private armies. This is also part of the poverty because the poorest provinces in these countries are those provinces that have no peace, that have a lot of criminality. And it's not surprising that the Maguindanao massacre happened because, in fact, a week or two before it happened, was in Maguindanao. And we were talking about Ampatuan and what he has been doing, so it's not surprising. And there are other Ampatuans and other equivalents in other provinces. So the poverty, aside from direct interventions in the agriculture sector, in the natural resources sector, Philippine poverty is 70% in the rural areas, so we have to address modernization of agriculture, all the support industries there. But we also have to manage our macroeconomic environment to encourage sustainable investors to move into the country and invest together with domestic and Filipino investors. And then also part of this, social services that government is not giving, you know, health, education, you know, water system, roads, and all of
this. It's the same as Noynoy's, Gordon's, Manu Villar's,
in the
JC's platform.
No, this is just the first. This is just the first pillar.
But because everybody, palagi na to be addressed poverty, education would be the priority. Economic development, etc.
Okay, there are a number of differences, and I think which in a sense highlight my uniqueness among the presidential candidates. When I speak of agricultural development, I'm speaking as coming from one who's an agriculture graduate and who spent 30 years in agriculture actually creating new farming systems. The major difference is that I'm the pioneer of organic farming, natural farming, ecological farming in the country. This is what I'll mainstream. Ecological farming, when you say modernizing agriculture sustainably. For example, a lot of the yields that we are experiencing drops in yield in rice is a result of the overuse of chemical fertilizers and pesticides. So this is a differentiating factor from all the rest because none of them understand agricultural science. I do. I was trained and actually innovated and pioneered in that area for over 30 years. But it's not a kind of motherhood statement in that case. When I speak of microfinance, for example, some people are speaking, I actually helped to launch a microfinance program that reaches 250,000 people today. So this is, in a sense, when I do that, it comes from the perspective of somebody who's had an experience in that specific area. Now let's say also corruption. You know, you cannot really modernize, have all of these expenses now if the 500 billion pesos or more government budget is being stolen. So in my case, I spent a lot of my time since I was young fighting corruption. In fact, it's the reason why I became an activist, because my father was unfairly charged of being corrupt by Marcos because he didn't want to get corrupted, and my father spent 2 years clearing his name, and I was seeing him through the process, and I said, what kind of government do we have where the best, the brightest, the most effective, and the most honest are being rewarded with corruption charges at the end of the day because they don't want to get corrupted by the leaders of the system? That turned me into an activist, and since then, I've been fighting corruption. The corruption in the Bataan Nuclear Power Plant involving $14 million. The corruption in the Department of Agriculture involving billions of pesos worth of pesticides. The corruption in the Estrada government. The corruption in the Arroyo government, which we tried to to actually ask her to resign. So I think this, you know, your question, Ricky, is very important, because in the end, and I will say something more, no? In this presidential world forum among presidential candidates, there's a kind of learning curve. When people listen to what the audience is saying, then they start, in the next forum, they start adding. So what you're left here is that in the end, there will be a kind of equalizing, people saying the same things as what you're saying. And so what I'm saying to the Filipino public, take a look at the background, what people have done all these years. When they say they're going to do something in an area, in their past experience, they actually demonstrate their capacity to do that. And it's the same thing with the environment. I'm unique among the presidential votes, especially for the environmental track record. In fact, I'm being labeled as a green candidate. Although I'm saying my definition of green is not just ecology, but all the rest, economic, politics, that go with dealing with the environment. So my track record in the environment speaks for itself, and all the national global awards on the environment speak for itself. So I mean, that's also unique. My fourth pillar is also unique because it speaks about societal partnerships for social justice. I actually authored a book on the whole topic. This was an approach called societal threefolding, involving business, government, civil society into critical collaboration for sustainability. And this was adopted by the United Nations because I together with the Philippine delegation at the UN in 1998, introduced this approach, which is now part and parcel of the UN Millennium Development Goal as the pillar number 8. For a public-private partnership. That's unique also with me because I not only have a theoretical framework to underpin it, but I actually practice it. And that work actually also led to one of the reasons why I got awarded the Alternative Nobel Prize, because of that work, because it's now had global impact. When you speak of education, I've actually started several schools. I've been training teachers. I've given workshops. So all of the six pillars, and the last pillar, by the way, is mainstreaming positive alternative, identifying all the different exciting things going on around the country and mainstreaming them. I tried to do this in 2005 and 2006. We organized the National Karangalan Conference, highlighting Filipino national and global excellence, which are potential solutions to all many problems that we face. So in all six pillars, I have extensive experience and background, and many of these are unique among the presidential candidates. We seem to sound the same maybe in corruption and poverty, but even there, when you take a look at the experience, very different. The track record speaks for itself.
You said, sir, you're the only candidate, People's Primaries, who actually intimated.
Yes.
Roy Caboneco.
Yes. I actually was open. And in fact, invited Noynoy to join the process, because I wrote a long blog, 6-page blog, of the reason why it's important to have a people's primaries. And many of the people fell for what I call the winnability virus, short-circuiting the process. And that's why if every time bloggers ask for a session, I priority for me, because I think we need to think through this election very well. It's time for us not to have just knee-jerk reactions, but to think through deeply what people are saying and what people are promising. And most of the, of course, examine the past track record.
Very
interesting. Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Paano yung survey papadating sa mga tao? You seem to have a very good grasp of Philippine reality. Pero the thing is, mababa tayo sa surveys,
yes,
etc. I'm sure wala pa kayong national grassroots network. Hmm.